we are going to move forward this morning. I have passed out to you a one-page excerpt from document that we are working on. Amen. Spiritual epistemology. In addition to that, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Seems like we are, I think Deacon Gavin hit on that last week, and I think the week before that, Elder Livingston hit on it. Amen. So it seems this is where ministering is resonating right now. I have no problems about going back to it again, because, amen, one thing about the Word of God, you never graduate from any portions or parts of it. Everybody got the documents, amen?
Yeah.
All right. But Deacon, I want you to start in verse 12 of the first chapter of Ephesians. Read the King James, and then two verses which we are going to focus on this morning. One is in verse 18, which is our primary verse that we will exegete this morning. And I want you to look very closely at what the conveyances are. And then we will look at verse 20 in regards to what the Word of God is teaching. Amen. Doesn't matter what's popular. Doesn't matter what is appealing. Amen. But what are our instructions? What is it that we should be focusing on? There's a world out there that's full of problems and full of challenges, and most of us are not doing too well in facing those challenges and those problems. I said it again. We live in a world with, and I want everybody to listen this morning, a bunch of challenges and things that are confronting us, but most of us not doing too well in facing those challenges and the confrontations of life. And because of this, there are many unhappy campers.
Right.
I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about the world now.
Right.
There's nothing concerning the world, amen, that the scripture is speaking to except to tell what God's ultimate plan is for the world.
Right.
But as it relates to God's people, and it relates to God's people, the things that are around us, we must look into the Word of God to understand what is going on, the proceedings of the things that are happening, the things that are transpiring around us. We must, through the Word of God, come to view them as the design, plan, and purpose of God in manifestation with a view to what God's eternal purpose and plan is. This is what we must do. Amen. Otherwise, life will make no sense to you. And I don't care who you are, where you live, and what you're doing, you're not going to escape the problems of life. The disappointments of life. The tragedies of life. These are all designs of a depraved creation. And so they will come. They come, but then thank God they go. And so we must understand what God is doing. And thus, our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, focuses on the eternal aspect of those things that are everlasting and eternal. Those things that transcends the things that are around you every day, that are troubling you and bothering you and disappointing you and frustrating you. This world is geared to manifest a story, a testimony. We're in a time capsule. The time capsule is situated in eternity. We have been taught that by the theologians that there is God in eternity, and they call it eternity past.
Right.
And then they said, now we're in time.
Right.
And they said, but yet there is an eternity future. Mm-hmm. As though eternity has been suspended because time has come in and replaced it. And until, when time is over, amen, then eternity which has been held in abeyance shall again, amen, come back into operation. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere. Eternity is where God dwells. And we're in the time capsule. We're in a small, minute, miniature planet in what is probably a small galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies. And so this earth is a speck, and even though what is going around you is so big in the total scheme of God, it is almost infinitesimal. This, what we call the world, is but a small thing in the total scheme of God. And so what is going on around us is not the essence of what life is. The essence of what life is what God has purpose and plan concerning us, which far overshadows your daily, mundane, back and forth, doing whatever we do.
Amen.
Ministry has failed to point this out to God's people.
Right.
Now we dare to stand this morning. We make no apologies for the ministry that God has given us here at the Grace Gospel Church. We will stand with the ministering of the Word of God. Do you have the document before you? Spiritual epistemology. Everybody say epistemology.
Epistemology.
Say it again.
Epistemology.
Generally speaking, epistemology is the branch of philosophy which studies the nature and scope of knowledge. In particular, its foundation and validity. The terminology epistemology was originated from the Greek word epinosis, which is rendered knowledge, and logos, which is rendered word, speech. Hence, epistemology speaks of knowledge of word, or knowledge of speech, of knowledge of what is spoken. And I dare say this morning that there are across this nation right now, there are those that have these Bible open as we do, and they're looking at these words, amen, and especially if they're looking at our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, that message that was written to, that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, they have not a clear understanding. They are not epistemic in garnering nor internalizing what these words are actually speaking to. Now, as epistemology relates to the spiritual things of God, much of the debate in this stream focuses on analyzing the spiritual nature of knowledge and how it relates to human notions that are construed as truth and belief. In this vein, much of these discussions unavoidably concern the eternal doctrines of salvation. Most of the theological epistemologists basically analyze human standards of justification, that is, one's acceptance to God, as knowledgeable claims of the grounds on which one can know the particular facts of salvation. But yet they're all over the place. You can go to five different churches and they have five different renditions in various forms of what salvation means and what it means to be saved and what this thing is all about. But in a nutshell, spiritual epistemology addresses evidence of the question, do you know, do you really know what you think you know? And if so, how do you know what you know? Unfortunately, in Christendom, there are a variety of approaches to the gleanings of scripture knowledge, yet scripturally exegetical studies demand the reexamination of centuries-old assumptions that have erroneously formed the many religious traditions. Yes, the church has failed miserably, amen, in conveying the actual readings and the actual intended, amen, cogitation of the words that are written, the things that are actually written there, what is being preached and how they are being depicted are far from what the scriptures actually convey. Exegetical epistemology comprises the exclusive, vibrant, dynamic methodology of purely garnering conveyances that are the Holy Spirit's revelations of communications as the actual scripture. Amen. Now in the sphere of time, all knowledge is construed as what is perceived by men's related concepts of truth and wisdom. But in stark contrast, spiritual knowledge is not predicated on what Bible scholars in the traditional sense agree to, which entails numerous debates rather than the internalization of what is unknowable outside of God's revelation. Hence, and this is where our focus is, the acquisition of spiritual knowledge. It involves God's cognitive spiritual processes, that is, his perception of communication and reasoning, which engenders confident understanding granted in alignment of the use of such for God's specific purposes. Now, I had asked Deacon Gavin, and you also turn to Ephesians, Deacon, start reading there at verse 12. Everybody got to say amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 12, King James first. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Of course, something is missed there because it looks like this is something that should happen and is not happening, and we wonder why, manifestation-wise, we don't see certain things happening. Amen. God is so great and God is in charge of everything. And why are the things operating? Amen. That word should be there, should not, that is not correct translation. That should be for our being, for our being. Not that we should be, for our being. Go ahead.
Verse 12 from the NLT.
That is for our being to the what?
All right, for our being.
For our being to the
praise.
Uh-huh.
Of the glory of the having previously hoped.
Of those having.
The ones.
The ones what?
Having previously hoped. In Christ.
Yeah, you're reading from the Greek now, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Those of you who have the interlinears, for the to be us in the praise of glory of Him, the ones having previously hoped. Mm-hmm. See how different that reads from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
So here this is telling us, man, God has an eternal plan, and in that plan, for all of the transpirances that you see in chapter 1 is about God in eternity working before
right.
time.
Right.
If it's before time, it's before creation. If it's
right.
before creation, it's before we are here. Amen. God is planning. And you see, it's amazing how to give God credit for being a creator, but don't give Him much credit for being a designer and planner.
Nope.
Amen. But here, this focuses on what God's purpose and plan. You see, when you look at things around you, they're not going to make sense except as you make them components of God's purpose and plan.
Right, right.
Something happens and everybody's saying, wow, what happened? Well, if you will view them as components of God's eternal purpose and plan,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then you will say, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
The other question, the question would then be, what is God working out?
Right.
How is this working as a component of God's plan?
Mm-hmm.
Not just what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some situation happened. Sometimes people lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm talking about God's people now.
Right.
So, well, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Instead of saying, what is God's plan in this?
Right, right.
Sometimes we fall upon hard economic times.
Right.
And instead of saying, what happened? What is God working out
mm-hmm.
in this?
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you really believe that He loved you, and here all the evidence is here that He loves you,
mm-hmm.
because as we look at this, He is planning and making provisions for you before He even creates you.
That's true. That's true.
According to verse 4,
mm-hmm.
all of this is going on,
mm-hmm.
amen, according as He chose us in Him,
yeah.
when?
Before
the foundation of the creation of the world.
Right.
So God in eternity,
mm-hmm.
before the time capsule
right.
is ever formulated and created,
mm-hmm.
amen, for God's purpose, He, amen, has a pre-plan and pre-purpose, amen, for He has designed everything that's happening in the time capsule. And this is what we must understand. All right, keep reading. Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye hearing the word of truth, the gospel
of... Now he's reading from the King,
from the interlinear.
Read from both.
Okay. Verse 13, King
mm-hmm.
James Version.
Mm-hmm.
In whom ye also trusted.
And notice that word trusted is what?
Italicized.
It's italicized, which means what? It's not an original text.
Right.
There's nothing there to underline it.
Right.
They never should have put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they put it in there because they want to teach
mm-hmm.
that God does what He does after you trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust Him, God won't bless you.
Come on with it.
In order to initiate this thing, it begins with your trust.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Huh? Abraham would have been wiped out. He went down into Egypt, and God told him that this is what I've got for you. I'm just using the corroboration now. And he got down there, and he saw with his natural eyes the opposite.
Right.
And he didn't trust God. Did he trust God?
No.
No, he went on over into Egypt. He got in trouble there.
Yeah.
Amen. Because when he was confronted with the fact that Pharaoh might take him out, he lied, didn't he? Huh?
He lied.
Didn't he trust God? Huh?
No.
Amen. God is waiting on us to trust him to bless us. We'll never be blessed.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't work that way. Huh? You don't initiate, and these ministers are teaching that, you know, it's like you dial in a computer. You hit the right buttons, amen, and then out come what you want. Doesn't work that way. No. Long before you got... So it's not about you trusting. This couldn't possibly be about you trusting, because everything that is happening in this context is God alone working in eternity. And you're only involved as the recipient of what he is doing.
That's right.
This could possibly be about you trusting in any sense, because everything that is going on in chapter 1 of Ephesians is God in eternity working before creation. So even read the King James, but whenever you see something italicized, just skip over it. Read it again.
At verse 13 again.
Mm-hmm.
In whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth,
mm-hmm.
the gospel of your salvation,
mm-hmm.
in whom also, after that ye believed,
mm-hmm.
ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit.
All right, let's run to the Greek.
Mm-hmm. Verse 13
in the linear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye hearing
mm-hmm.
the word of truth,
mm-hmm.
the gospel of the salvation of you,
mm-hmm.
in whom also believing ye were sealed.
Okay, now you see that the difference here, you were sealed. When were you sealed? You were sealed when God is back here in eternity. And when you see your believing and hearing, amen, is also being, amen, ontologized through God decreeing it.
Right. That's right.
So back in eternity,
yep.
God is decreeing those who will hear,
right.
those who will see,
right.
those who will believe.
Right.
And it came into being in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so it is manifested in time.
Right.
It is actualized in eternity by God's decree. This is what this is saying. All right, move to 14.
Verse 14, King James Version, mm-hmm. verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance,
uh-huh.
until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
All right, run to the Greek right quick.
14, interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Who is an earnest of the inheritance of us,
mm-hmm.
till redemption of the possession, to praise of the glory of him.
All right. Here we see the essence of what God has set up and is guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Sure is.
Our earnest.
Right.
Amen. That which is put down. Amen. As a guarantee,
right.
there, amen, is something that is enacting in eternity,
mm-hmm.
not in time. You didn't get up one day. Yesterday, you're crazy, you're dumb, you're out there doing all kind of stupid things. Overnight, somehow, you became brilliant. You got up, you decide you want to come to church and give your life to the Lord. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The day that you believe is the day that you come to a knowledge of what God was doing back here for you.
That's it.
And you're not smarter than the guy that doesn't believe. He said, well, faith come by here. Well, then how did you hear? He said, well, I heard by the word of God. The word of God is what you heard. But why did you hear it? Why did you hear it and your neighbor didn't hear it?
That's right.
I mean, all of us know people out there, they think this is a joke.
Yeah.
God, decreed and ordained that you would know this, that you would hear this, you would believe this. So you are only following through in manifestation of what has been designed for you. All right, read, keep reading.
15,
mm-hmm.
King James. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. 15, in lineal. Therefore I also, hearing the among you faith
mm-hmm.
in the Lord Jesus
mm-hmm.
and the love to all the saints.
Mm-hmm. 16.
Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Just go on to 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
All right, go to the Greek and then the yeah. In all of that.
In order, that's verse 15.
17.
Oh, okay. In order that the God of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Father of glory,
mm-hmm.
may give to you a spirit of wisdom.
Now, that's why we want to stop here and
mm-hmm.
exegete.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
here in this ministry, we can only go with what God has given us.
Right.
Amen. Part of our curriculum is exegeting.
Right.
We exegete through the threefold aspect of scrutinizing what is there.
Right, right.
We do so by the grammar,
right.
which means as we look at the passages before us, the original writings in Greek. We look at the context and we look at the historical aspect, and as we see this, the sphere of it is in eternity. In eternity, God is all by himself,
right.
which means that everything that is going on in this context mm-hmm. is God alone working by himself.
Right.
You can't put man in the formula of any of this. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, King James reads, may give. Mm-hmm. You have here the Greek word phoe, amen. Here it is what we call a subjunctive aorist. Follow me now. Amen. A little study won't hurt us. Subjunctive mood is what?
Probability.
It is a probability. What is a probability? A probability is what we look at as something that might happen, and we face the probabilities every day of our lives, don't we, huh? What's the probability of me getting this, that, or the other?
Mm-hmm.
What's the probability of me getting a raise on the job? I just break it down there. What's the probability of me getting something that I want? What's the probability of me getting something I don't want? What's the probability of something happening that I want to happen? What's the probability of something happening that I don't want to happen? Probabilities. Huh? What's the probability of something happening or not happening? Amen. Here we also have what we call the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? It is a completed action. And so what this verb is expressing here is a completed probability. Now I know that doesn't make any sense to us in our thinking. Because if a thing is probable, that means that it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
What's the probability of me being able to pay my bill by a certain date?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What's the probability of the bad coming and repossessing my home, foreclosing on my home, or repossessing my car? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What's the probability of me losing my bank account mm-hmm. if you got one? Amen. Like me, you don't have that to even worry about. What's the probability? Huh? And here, this is expressed in the terms of a completed probability.
Right.
Now, that makes no sense in time,
mm-hmm.
but contextualized, we're not dealing with time, we're dealing with eternity. And so, here this is dealing with the aspect of God having completed the probability of you receiving the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. Here's how it works. For those who will manifest in receiving the knowledge, it is a complete light. And it's a complete light also for those that won't receive it.
Right.
Some people will never understand this.
Yeah.
But those that understand it in the time as we look at probabilities, that probability is guided by a determination that has already been made. And you've got to take, listen to me, you've got to take that thing all the way down into life as to anything else, amen, that may come or occur, that might happen, may happen, amen. Oh my God, that thing is going to manifest the way God has already decreed it. That thing is already decided.
Yes. Bring it out. Make it plain. Bring it out. Come on.
When you understand this, you want to lay down, tossing and turning all night long. Because whatever that thing is, God has already called it. I love the testimony. I know she don't mind me saying the mother Goodlow laying in the hospital. They're getting ready to go and have a massive operation. And I'm looking over there and she just is cool and calm. And I said, Mother, you seem to be pretty. She said, well, Pastor, didn't you teach us that it's already done? I said, yeah. She said, why can we worry about something that's already done? Oh, will it be marvelous if we could live like that?
Right.
If we could live like that, we could cut down the stress.
Yes.
Your stress is not going to change anything.
Nothing.
Your stress it out is not going to make it come out any better. And thank God it's not going to make it come out any worse.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that's not what we're taught. We're taught that the things we do determines what happens.
Right.
Now here God made the world, created everything.
Everything.
And now He sits back and let us determine what happens.
Oh my Jesus.
Now, how does that sound?
Ridiculous.
No. In eternity, God decided, as this is speaking, who would know and who would not know.
That's right.
And thank God if you know this morning. Because everybody don't know Jesus. All right. Verse 18. I'm going to cut off early this morning.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints.
Oh my God. Go to the Greek.
All right. Verse 18 in a linear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Having been enlightened.
Now, you look at the difference. I want you to juxtapose for a minute. Take what the Greek is saying and compare it with what the King James and the other translations may be saying. Except, I will say this, many of the translations do not follow the King James, but they follow the actual conveyance there. What's the difference between
being enlightened
and having been enlightened? Let me just break it down to something. What's the difference between going to the store and having been to the store? If you're going to the store, something may happen, you might not get there. But if you've been to the store, it's a done deal. This should read, having been enlightened. What are you talking about, Paul? He's going back up to the previous verse and dealing with the completed probability. Those that will be enlightened haven't been enlightened. And you're not being enlightened, amen, because you did something or something is happening. Now you are being enlightened because you haven't been enlightened.
Right.
So what do you mean? You're double talk? No, I'm not. We think of a thing ontologizing or coming into existence
right.
or happening
right.
when it is manifested before us.
Right.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not. Believe me, God designed and brought into being all things in eternity.
Amen.
That's when it was ontologized.
Amen.
It is manifested in time
right.
according to what God, amen, actualized and ontologized
yes.
in eternity.
Yes. Yes.
In eternity, he decided who you would be, what your gender would be,
right.
where you would be born.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who you, yes, right. Who you would marry.
That's right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who your children would be.
That's right.
Where you go to school, what you would do.
Yep.
Amen. Yes. How long you would live.
Yep. Oh.
On earth.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. There are no accidents
mm-hmm.
in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know we go to the Old Testament. But we don't understand that in those sections of the Bible, things are written according to the covenant.
Right.
Or what was in the covenant.
Right. Right.
And things in the Old Testament are written from the earthly view
right.
of how it is perceived from the earthly view.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to our gospel,
yeah.
as we're reading here now from Ephesians, things are written according to the heavenly view. Wouldn't you rather look at things from the heavenly view of God in eternity, controlling all things? Wouldn't that give you more confidence than to think you down here on your own? Well, if God's controlling things, then why is this happening to me? Why is it happening? Because God planned it that way. God designed it. No, God couldn't have designed
it.
God couldn't design. Yes. That's the stuff with a good brother, good sister. They got killed. God wouldn't design for them to get killed. Did God design for Jesus to get killed, or was it an accident?
Design.
It's by design.
Yes, sir.
That is to say that God is not in control. So this is the kind of knowledge that we must garner and take with us in our lives and our thinking. Otherwise, we feel like we're so vulnerable. And if you are on your own in this earth, in this solar system, in this galaxy, in this universe, yes, you are vulnerable. But if you are a component of God's plan, and as it tells us here, amen, that he placed you in the body of Christ
yes.
in eternity,
yes.
amen, all the provision you will ever need,
yes.
God has already taken care of it for you.
Hallelujah.
And so no matter what happens to you. I was looking at a book the other day, it was why the quote, bad things happen to good people. First of all, who's good? Who's good? Jesus asked the man, if he didn't know who he was talking to, he was looking at Jesus as a man, and he said, who's good? There's none good but the Father. There's none good but God. And then what's bad? Well, what's bad is what goes against my agenda. First of all, you don't have an agenda.
Praise God. Praise God.
Your agenda flows and actually manifests as the agenda of God. And what happens if you have some imaginary agenda, amen, that you have no control over,
right.
And when that thing goes the opposite way, You're wondering, what happened? Well, if I come up to the corner, I say, well, let me see. Should I go to the left or right? Well, I think I'll go right. Go two blocks, somebody come through the intersection, boom, hit you. Now, if I had just gone left, that wouldn't happen. No, it would. Oh, no, it would. There's no way you could have turned but right.
That's what you did. Amen.
That accident was ordained. So, ooh, no, no, no. All right, what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of this thinking? What's the opposite of this thinking? What's the opposite of this thinking? The opposite of this thinking is to say that God is not in control.
That's right. That's what it would be.
Yeah. Questions like, where was God on 9/11 when the plane flew into the towers? Where was God when the tsunami came and killed 250,000 people? Oh, that wasn't God. That was the devil. Then where was God? Well, you see, we weren't doing right, so, you know, God stood back. Oh, my God, if God stood back because we didn't do right, we'd have been wiped, all of us,
all
long
of us,
time
all
ago.
All of us, man. All of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So the question is God in control? Or is he not in control? If you have the power to stop something and you don't, that means, oh my God, that was your doings, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, now you're up here indicting God. No, I'm not. You don't understand sovereignty.
Yes.
In the Old Testament,
come on, come on.
He said, I make alive and I kill.
That's what he
said. He said, I build up and I destroy. So now that just means that God creates the potential for the and then we wonder why the process and open fields come and they begin to say God is not in control of everything. And then we get upset with them. No, you set it up by saying God didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
The only way he would have anything to do with it is that if he had no control of it.
Right.
I'm so glad God's in control. Aren't you glad God's in control? God has a purpose. God has a plan.
Yeah.
It might not correspond with your plan, but it is still his plan. All right? Finish that up.
Amen 18.
As you understand enlightened.
As of your understanding, King James, as of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
See, I heard me get to the Greek.
Having been enlightened.
Having been enlightened, what?
The eyes of the heart of you.
The eyes of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes of your mind. The eyes of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It reads literally, ophthalmos, tis, kathias, imong.
Yes.
The eyesight of your man.
Mm-hmm.
The sight of your man.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes of your man. What your man sees.
Yes, yes.
What your man comprehends.
All right now.
What your man internalizes.
All right.
What your man connects with. Mm-hmm. Having been enlightened, what your mind connects with and understands. Read.
For thee to know you.
Yeah, see what that here. Oh my God, I've got to do with a little bit of Greek here.
Mm-hmm. What is the
here?
Hope?
Here this reads east, tol, ethany, imas. For your knowing, except you have the perfect tense there. The verb there, to know, ethene, is an infinitive, but it's in the perfect tense. What is the perfect tense?
Completed
a completed action
results,
with what?
Continuous.
With continued results. Which means, to break it down, it is because it was. Which connects back with the previous verse and everything that what is going on is a derivative of what has been set up for your knowing. Now, how do you translate that into what you're doing now? Read.
For the to know you, what is the hope of the calling of him?
What is the hope of his calling?
His calling.
His calling. Oh, my God. just indulge me here. Tis esting e epites is here translated for the hope ecclesios aftu of his calling. Here you got a pronoun here. It is in the genitive case. It is masculine. It is third person singular. So it wouldn't be me or I, because that would be what? First person. It's not you, because that would be second place. It's the third person, so it is his. So it is not your calling, it is his calling. You didn't call on him, he called you. Finish that up.
The calling of him. What the riches of the glory.
Oh my
of
God.
The glory of the inheritance of him.
What
in the saints.
Riches. What? Here we have what we call an interrogative pronoun. Tis. It's translated what? What? Oh my God. What? What? Amen. We have a noun here. It is translated. The Greek noun. Plutos. It is translated riches of wealth, amen. But it reads, tis all plutos, tis doxies. Oh my God. Here it is the riches, and here doxies is in the genitive case, which means that what? It shows what?
Ownership
and possession. So the riches of the wealth belongs to the glory.
Hallelujah.
Not talking about how much money you got in the bank. I've seen preachers take this and start preaching about things that are around us. Listen, if anybody goes to the first chapter of Ephesians and start talking about anything that's presently manifested and occurring and try to make this be something that's tied to you getting some money or something, you know that they are way off base. This is God working in eternity. So you have here the riches of his glory.
Right.
Amen. Keep reading.
Of the inheritance of him in the saints.
His inheritance in the saints.
Right.
His inheritance. We don't have time. I'm just cut through. I think we said this 2 or 3 weeks ago. Amen. This basically said that you are God's inheritance.
Yes, sir.
It says his inheritance.
Up
to. Mm-hmm. Pronoun. Mm-hmm. Genitive. Mm-hmm. His inheritance. Mm-hmm. Not your inheritance.
No.
You are his inheritance.
All right. Amen.
And of course, you have the dative case here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's locative.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows the location of his inheritance.
Right.
Where's the location of his inheritance?
It's
in the saints. Who are the saints? We are. We are. Now here we're still in eternity.
Yep.
And all of this is being done.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, what we've been taught is that things happen on a certain day and a certain time. Now where does this lead? The eternal essence abiding in the body of Christ as I go into the home stretch. And gentleness, the richest and most powerful entity of existence. In comparison to the glorious, eternal, but earthly blessing of those abiding in the commonwealth of Israel's promised land through Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so much preaching about Abraham, the promise of Abraham, the even songs, the promise of Abraham.
Right.
Listen, you remember the body of Christ? The promise of Abraham had nothing to do with you.
Nothing.
Nothing.
God has given you more.
So much.
To be in Christ?
Yes.
To be in Christ?
Yes.
To be in Christ? You see, Israel had Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel means God with us.
Okay.
We have God, Christ in us.
In
what's greater? God in you, yes. Or God with you?
In us. Amen.
We're in Him. Mm-hmm. You're in the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're in the body. You all don't hear me. You're in the body of Christ.
Oh, yes.
The essence of this. We'll continue to look at Israel. And of course, long time ago, they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And they have been freed long time ago from Pharaoh's resistance. And they are beyond any doubt destined to reach the promised land. According to the covenant of promise to Abraham.
Right.
But there's nothing revelation-wise in existence and compared to what our beloved Apostle Paul describes.
Nothing.
As he writes to Corinthians, mm-hmm. But according as has been written, I have not seen. Mm-hmm. Here we go from the Greek. What I did not see and ear did not hear, mm-hmm. And upon the heart of man came not what God did prepare, already prepared, mm-hmm. For those who loving them. Mm-hmm. But to us, everybody say us.
But to us.
Speaking of those in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But to us did God reveal through His Spirit, for the Spirit search all things, even the depths of God,
yes.
To alert every heart,
yes.
Every designated one,
yes.
Amen, of that which is manifestly at hand. What is manifestly at hand? Paul writes, amen, to the church of Thessalonica, amen, because they were disillusioned when the saints were dying, amen. Oh, my
right,
God.
Right.
And they read that at funerals, and I honestly wonder sometimes, do they know what they're reading, amen, when he speaks, amen, of the dead in Christ shall rise first, amen. First of all, he said, those who are asleep, amen, shall not come before.
Uh-huh.
King James said prevent, mm-hmm. That Greek word means come before. Mm-hmm. Those, amen, who are already asleep,
mm-hmm.
Those who have already left us are in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
Amen, we won't come before them, mm-hmm. Because God, amen, Christ, he brings them with him. Oh my God, you all don't listen to me this morning.
Yes.
And then those of us who are alive and remain, mm-hmm. We shall be snatched out of here.
Snatched.
They call it the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
The root word is rape,
mm-hmm.
Which means to take by force. Mm-hmm. God shall will force take us out of here. And then, amen, so shall we ever be with him. And Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present. Ooh, my God, present with the Lord.
Yes,
I'm not going to get through with this. I'll be back in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching the class, the senior youth class, a couple weeks ago. And I picked out a year, and I tried this on my granddaughters. I said, 2075. Most of them are in their teens. They're in their teens. One said, "Well, I'll be 84." Another said, "I'll be 82." Another said, "I'll be 79." Amen. Yeah. That means you're in your teens now, because 74.
Wait a minute,
6 to 8 years, right? From now. So I said to them, I said, "What do you think I'll be?" They looked at me with a blank stare.
Yeah.
I said, "I'll answer that for you."
Mm-hmm.
I'll be,
mm-hmm.
where I always be. From the time that God initiated this thing in eternity.
Yes. Yes.
Where's that? In the body of Christ?
Yes.
I'll be long gone out of the time zone.
Yes.
Out of the time capsule.
Yes.
I won't be here.
Mm-mm.
And some of them got the thing and they said, "Ooh, my God, just, I, I, I'll be a grandparent at that time. Yeah. You'll be the old folk. You look at us dying. Little old folk.
That's right.
I can remember when I used to look around and I used to say, oh, there are the old folk. Where are they now? Here
right
we
here,
are.
Right here. Yep.
Here I am.
Yep. Right here.
It doesn't seem like it was that long.
Right.
Wallace and I were running around in the backyard and
yep.
getting into trouble. My mama hollering at us and threatening us if we don't stop cutting up and act the fool, she's going to get the switch. You know, amen. That doesn't seem that long ago, does it? That doesn't seem that long ago. So what happens? You come on earth, you're born, go to school, you grow up, you finish school, hopefully you do it in this order, get a trade, get a job, then you get married. Hopefully that's the order. Because somebody better be working.
I'm not. You got that,
you have children.
Yeah.
You look up. They're grown. I can remember a few years ago, amen, when I can remember the night that we first walked into Emmanuel. We were carrying Lisa. Look at her back there. She's got her own children now.
Yep.
They're almost grown. That wasn't that long ago? Wasn't that long ago? Then your children grow up. Look around a few days, and you're a grandparent.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it just seemed like it was just a few days ago that we were in there having watch night service. What? It didn't seem that long ago. Here we're in the final quarter. We're into the final quarter of 2007. We're in the final. And just as sure as you're sitting there, time will pass, and you'll get to whatever that magic year is. But God has already planned it. So we can't just look at life. Because you grow up, you become grandparents, and then some of us stick around long enough to become great-grandparents. But at
some point,
it's checkout time.
Yes, it is,
man. I was preaching a funeral, two people didn't appreciate it. Of course, don't come and ask me to preach if you don't want to hear the truth.
Right.
Everybody in here is going to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Pastor, don't say that. Everybody in here is going to die. If the Lord tell everybody in here is going to die.
Everybody.
Let's move on and say 2090. Mm-hmm. If the Lord tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you'll be?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, our planning is for today. And the immediate tomorrow only.
Yeah.
Our priority is on today and the immediate tomorrow only. But if you are going to exist, it will be in the essence of eternality.
Amen.
And this is why we hit and beat that horse,
yes.
Eternity. Everybody say eternity.
Eternity.
Now the church is not doing that.
Nope.
They're telling you five ways to be successful and everything is on the here and the now. And nobody's thinking about the long run. And everybody's just thinking about the short run. No. Eternity. And so this is where the scripture leads us. So here we focus on the aspect of epistemology of eternity. And so as we look at this, it talks about power and dominion and the Lord having arranged everything under his feet. Amen. And Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Amen. That's our hope. And he is the one filling all in all. These verses explicate the exclusive mode methodology of spiritual knowledge. as that which is granted to designated humankind solely by the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. I just thought I'd give you a few words this morning, just kind of think about these things. Amen. And then take the glorious things of existence which God has so graciously prepared for you and bring them down into your everyday life. And enjoy yourself. Amen. Because you are on a journey and you are moving through, but God's got everything already worked out for you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.